a verbal specialty today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books.
And I'm Don Wooten. Amy Jeffries is sometimes the voiceover. Today she is the voice on Scribble. I think I treaded on your lines there, Tweet.
You did.
I'll
get even.
I have no doubt about that. People looking at you would not impute the malice. Amy Jeffries, pardon us for our intramural.
No, this is fun.
What do you mean fun? This is agony. I've been working with the guy for years. But you have an interesting specialty here, a voiceover.
I do. Voiceovers. We're not sure if it's one word, if it's hyphenated, if it's two words.
Or voices over?
Yeah, who knows?
But, well, you didn't invent it, did you?
No, I didn't. Maybe you Googled it. Maybe it's been around for 100 years. But I've just known that it was a profession for maybe 17 or 18 years. So voiceovers, anything with a voice, TV, radio, on-hold messaging. Thank you for calling. Someone will be with you in just a moment.
Oh,
when you
no.
call, yeah, those
Amy,
annoying ladies
please.
That talk to you, okay. Ladies or gentlemen.
Please, I will throw something
yes,
at you.
Yes, corporate narration, how-to videos, how to get your Kodak printer to work. I did some, came way back on a CD-ROM. Well, now those might be something that you download from the Kodak website or something, how-to on how to set up your printer. There might be a voice on there that tells you, you know, step-by-step how to do that. That could be my voice telling you how to do that. Corporate narration, like benefits, you know, you get a new hire at a company. There's a video that maybe they have to watch. That could be my voice on it. So there's lots of different places that voices can show up. Video games, toys.
Why don't they? Let's take that last example. Why don't they use the voice of the person doing the video?
Well, sometimes they don't have the greatest voice.
Okay.
And case in point, I did a commercial a while ago, it's been a long time, probably 10 years ago, and I was the voice for the woman on camera, and it took probably an hour and a half, probably an hour longer than it needed to for my liking, but I was watching her speak,
right,
and I had to match her pace as she was talking, because she actually, I think that gal was from a different country,
okay,
so maybe her accent was a little bit thick, and they wanted someone more mm-hmm. English speaking, and I fit that bill. So I think she was from Russia, the on-camera gal, and so that was probably to date one of my most fun I've had on the job.
So how in the world did you get into this business?
I was a disc jockey on the radio here in the Quad Cities for about 11 years, part-time and full-time 13 years. But
what station?
Live WLLR for all of the 11 years, and then I think it was the last 6 years I was voice tracking the overnights on Mix 96.
Oh.
So I got my start in that, and then Jim Hunter, if he's listening, thank you, Jim. He said, hey, the local cable company is looking for a female voiceover person. Would you be interested? And I said, does it pay?
The critical question.
Working in radio, you know, you need to get every income source that you can. So he says, yeah, it pays. I said, sign me up. And I did it part-time for about 5 years, and I had built it up enough to where if I wanted to take it to the next level, I needed to be available during the day. And I was on air at that time, 10 to 2 on WLLR. So I talked it over with my husband, and we decided that I needed to take the leap. And now it's been 12 years this month that I've been full-time doing voiceovers out of my home in the Quad Cities. You don't have to live in L.A. You can live in a cornfield and do voiceovers.
Right. Well, do you other than local material, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when I started 17 years ago on the part-time stuff, that was just local. It was in Iowa and in Illinois, down in Peoria. But then I thought, well, if the places around here need me, well, right. then the places in Seattle might need right. me. And the places in, you know, out on the East Coast probably need me too. So then when I got, some other cable companies and just kind of built it up a little bit. And now with technology the way it is, it's over, you know, the whole world. I have clients that I've worked with in Italy and in Germany. So,
do you have recording equipment in your home, then, a studio?
I do. I have a computer with editing software on it. And then when I went full-time, the bigger jobs that I do, I require ISDN, which is archaic technology as far as technology goes. ISDN is a special phone line. And that allows me to connect with people in real time. So Don might be in Atlanta and he's recording me on his end and I'm talking on my end. So I have that technology. And since then, ISDN is, I was told 17 years ago that it was going to be going away, but it's still here. And in my industry, it's still kind of the industry standard, but there's been this new thing that's come out and a lot of people are moving to that, and it's called Source Connect, and that goes over the internet. So ISDN goes over the phone lines and Source Connect goes over the internet. So eventually ISDN will go away and then it'll all be over the internet. But I have microphone and headphones and the computer, and I record everything in my studio, and then I email it to wherever it needs to go, around the world or around the country.
So how does somebody in Seattle hear about you?
Good question. Marketing, that is the hardest thing. When I left the radio station, I thought it was going to be the easiest thing, and it's the hardest. Organically is kind of, you know, the cable companies that I started with 17 years ago. I have one guy that was a brother-in-law of somebody, and now I'm still working with that brother-in-law 17 years later, doing a whole lot of car dealerships with him up in the Chicagoland area. So a lot of my business has been word of mouth, not for lack of trying. I've put together marketing lists on my own. I have some different websites that I go to and have compiled them, you know, on my own. And, you know, you send out 1,000 postcards and you hope for, you know, a couple people to come back. But that's the marketing is the hardest part.
So do you have demo tapes that you send to people?
I do. Well, you know, I used to send out CDs, but as, you know, time has progressed, I send out postcards is what I do now. Okay. And that has my website on it.
Okay.
AmyJeffries.com. And that has all of my demos on it. I have a commercial demo. I have an on-hold messaging demo and a narration demo, and then also some samples of other work that I've done. So when people get that postcard, they go to my website, and then they can hear all of my work on the website.
You know, I wish I'd had you as an example when I was trying to teach speech. You know, trying to get kids to speak clearly, to enunciate, to project, and it doesn't work, you know, but if I could point, well, and I'll hear someone who speaks clearly and has made a full-time profession of just talking. Think about that. And then look at the politicians who can speak clearly and forcefully. They are successful. The voice is the pathway to success in almost anything. Yeah. And you have a nice, clear, pleasant, comprehensible voice.
And you know, I tell people that I worked in radio. Sometimes I don't tell them that I worked in radio because they have this preconceived notion of, you know, what my voice is going to sound like. But I don't think that I have the typical, you know, radio announcer voice. Because sometimes when you're dealing with certain clients, they don't want somebody with a radio background. But I don't. I have a radio background, but I don't think my voice really.
Yeah,
says
it's
that,
and it's odd, you know, my voice changes from day to day and from morning to night.
Sure.
When I started out at KWPC, I was a baritone in the morning and a tenor in the evening.
Yeah, yeah, if somebody needs me to, you know, sound sexy on something, well, we need an 8 o'clock session, AM. Because that's, I sound completely different when I get up in the morning than when 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So,
what's the most unusual voiceover you've done? Do you have a couple?
Well, probably the one that I told you about with the on-camera person.
You had to yeah. lip sync with
yeah,
that person.
She was a, it was like a Russian spy whole scenario. And it was for conditioner, hair conditioner. And she was a Russian spy, and she just stepped out of a storm sewer, and she had her hair looked fabulous. And that was probably one of my favorites.
So did you have to do any, have you ever had to do any kind of dialect, or do they ask you to be Southern, or?
They ask, but I cannot produce, so they stopped asking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I just do.
You are always what we're hearing
I just
now.
Do Amy. Yeah. Okay. I do it really well.
You do it well,
just
that's
Amy.
For sure.
Well, Just Amy would work on radio or almost any vocal setting, so that's, but that is amazing that, and it shows sometimes the turns a life can make.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested maybe you could do a voiceover, and look out, the world changes.
Yeah, who knew? I that was part of my job when I was at the radio station. I was on the air for so many hours, and then I had to do production, which was go into the studio, and, you know, I had to kick out as many radio spots as they, you know, as the production people gave me. And that actually was my favorite part of my job. One of my favorite parts of the job was the production that I got to do. So it was really natural for me to go into voiceovers, on that part-time basis. It wasn't difficult at all. Of course, I had to, had to switch from radio to TV. And, you know, because with radio, you have to be so, maybe try to describe it with your voice, but with TV, you have the videos already there. So that's telling the viewer, you know, about the product. So I'm just adding to what's already there. So my voice isn't the featured part. Sometimes it might be for a TV spot, but you know, I think it's more the visual, and I'm just adding to it with my voice. So.
I often think of that when I see these pharmaceutical commercials. You see this beautiful picture of a guy who's healthy and happy, and his life is wonderful, and the voiceover saying, "This will kill you, this will get this will your hair fall out," and so on. And I think, doesn't anybody hear that? Doesn't anybody read that? And the answer is no.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
They
right.
see the picture, and that emotion that the eye takes it in, and you ignore all the other warnings.
Right. Yeah, they try to make it entertaining now a bit, but it's still very dry and nobody pays attention.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how they write it.
Where are we likely to hear you?
I do a lot, not in the Quad Cities. I don't do too much around here. A lot of it's online, a lot of car dealerships up in the Chicagoland area, and out into Iowa and Kansas City area. On-hold messaging. I do a ton of on-hold messaging. I had a cousin out in the Seattle area. He works for a big company out there, and he was calling in for a teleconference. I don't know. He called in, and the prompt was, "Welcome to the meeting. you know, to increase your volume, press one or whatever. And it was me. So my cousin in Seattle, he says, I swear this was you. And so I called in and I said, yep, that is me. So you never know where, you know, it could be walking through an airport somewhere. And, you know, the person overhead telling you, you know, it's endless where people might hear me.
How many people are in this business?
Way too many. Way too many. It's, you know, since I started full-time 12 years ago to now, I have no idea, but I mean, it's, I don't know, has it increased 10 times or 100 times? I don't know. With technology, you know, anybody can do a voice, anybody can record a voiceover. Are they going to sound good at it? Maybe not, but you know, the equipment is so cheap to get, you know, to record. Everybody has a computer, everybody has a phone, and you can record on just about anything and make it sound good.
How about pacing? Are you ever required to speed up or slow down?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of times I get 36 seconds worth of copy and it needs to be in 30 seconds and or 29. And I say, yeah, these lips don't move that fast. So you're going to have to cut some copy. Somebody else might be able to get it done, but my lips only move so fast. But yeah, so that's the pacing. And then sometimes with my live sessions, the director will be on with me and he'll say, I need you to speed up. I need you to slow down. And that's nice to have the person on the line. So I don't have to think so much, you know, because when I'm alone in my studio recording something for somebody, I might do it, you know, 15 times. Whereas if somebody's on the line with me, I might only need to do it, you know, two or three, and then they've got what they need.
Uh-huh. So, do you consider what you do a subset of theater?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Voice actor. I think that's what my tax return says.
Voice actor?
Yeah. Voice
okay,
actor.
So do you ever have to change voices a little, sound excited or sound kind of depressed? Or
yep, yeah.
They tell you what to do, right?
Right, yeah. When some of the jobs that I get, I audition for, and they'll send me an audition script, and it'll come with, you know, parameters of what type of person they're looking for. And in that description, you kind of get a feel of what this person, who this person is that needs to read this script, and that's where those types of things would be listed. And I need to read that description and become that person. Then I record it and I send it back to them and keep fingers crossed that they pick me.
Okay. Also, are they having several voice people
hundreds,
do this?
Hundreds, yeah.
They and then might, they pick you out of?
Out of hundreds of people, yes. So,
I'm glad I had tenure.
Yeah, that's why I say you keep your fingers crossed and hope that they call
you.
Wow. Yeah. And it's, you know, since going full time 12 years ago, there's more and more people vying for for these jobs. So,
but you're well known now fairly, aren't you?
Well, of course.
Yeah. No, so you're not just a voice out there.
I mean, we didn't know about you, but others do.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
But do you not have people contact you because they specifically want you?
Yes, they do.
That's the best kind, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah, because they know what they're getting, and you know, if I've worked with them before, I know what I'm getting, too. So makes it good.
How do you set your fee?
That is another part that's difficult to do. I have agents that work with, and a lot of them set the rate for me, so I don't have to do it. So marketing and pricing, that's the two hardest parts. I would say marketing is harder, but
so you have an agent that takes care of a lot of that.
A lot of it, yeah.
You know, that is the toughest time. When I ran for the Senate, I had to give up my job on television, and I was unemployed for a year. So I had to go to work on my own. And the first thing was to set a fee. And I could not for the life of me set a fee because I thought, you know, most fees I heard of I thought were exorbitant. You shouldn't be charging that much. And I dithered and dithered, and finally my secretary just wrote out a number and said, that's it. That's what I used.
The worst they can say is no.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, I felt embarrassed about that because at first I was honest. How long did it take to do this job? Sometimes it took longer than it should have. I gave the hourly fee and I figured, ooh, that's not going to look good.
Right.
So this is tough.
Yeah. And the frustrating thing sometimes is people say, well, will you do this for free? You know, if it's a revision or, you know, whatever. And the only way I make money is talking into the microphone.
Yeah. Once you say I'll do it for free, that becomes your fee.
Right. Yeah.
So it's and that's a tough thing to do because I know when I was giving a lot of talks, people say, what do you charge? I said, whatever you normally give people is fine. That way I didn't have to think about it. But you know, if you're in demand, you can kite the fee up quite a bit. And it never seemed ethical to me. But then who knows what's ethical in this business?
Right.
Do you advertise at all? Or?
You know, I don't. I just, and I'm not on social media. And I'm kind of at a fork in the road.
Right.
Do I get on social media or do I not? And will that help me or will it just create a headache for me? I'm not sure. But I've done okay without social media up to this point. But my advertising would just be sending out those postcards that I talked about. But other than that, not too much. I might, you know, sponsor some, you know, fundraisers here or there. But I do that more, you know, just to give back rather than, I don't think I'll get anything out of it, but you know, if you do it,
that's
not a bad idea.
You have a very interesting career, I must say, Amy.
Yeah.
That's on one hand, people would say, oh, I'd just die to have something like that. On the other hand, nothing is simple.
No, it's not.
Each job has its complications.
Yeah, and being your own boss, that's I wish I could just do the voiceovers and not have to do all of the paperwork and, you know, the invoicing and tracking down money, all of that stuff. I wish I could just go in and do that, but in order to do that, I have to do all the other stuff. So.
Being the boss is miserable. Yeah. At least it is for me.
But I'm not working on the weekends or holidays anymore, so
right.
Yay!
I, on the other hand, work only on weekends.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, I must say, you've given us a remarkable insight to a remarkable profession. And how long do you think you'll keep going on this?
As long as they'll let me, I guess. You know, as I think I'm starting to get requests that say 50-something female, and I'm not quite there yet, but, you know, if it pays, whatever. But, you know, where it used to be 20s and 30s, the age range that I was, you know, reading for. So I think there's female... female jobs out there for all age ranges. So as long as they'll keep hiring me, I'll still do it.
Slow down a little bit. That'll give you the age.
Yeah, right.
Well, thank you very much for spending time with us. You can send your invoice in and we'll...
Okay. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Amy Jeffries, who does voiceovers, and you'll probably be hearing her. Now, isn't that the kind of job you would like to have?
I would love to have it.
Yeah.
Except I don't think I would like the competition. Wow.
Well, how about writing from home?
You are at the mercy of changing tastes and...
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, well, now everything is moving to computers, so that would throw me off completely.
And you have to keep up with everything.
Well, keeping up with the book bag, anything we should recommend?
I've got one of the kinds of literatures that fascinates me are those writers who invent a place, like Faulkner's Yakutat County or Edgar Lee Masters' Spoon River, mm-hmm. you know, which sort of exists, but exist in fiction and poetry more, or David Eder's Alliance, Illinois. If you've never read David Eder's Alliance, Illinois, it's better, I think, than Spoon River.
I've got it in my file, thinking one day we will dramatize that.
Well, Don Erickson gave me a book of short stories by an author named Frank Mosher, M-O-S-H-E-R, called Points North, which invents a county way up in northern Vermont near the Canadian border called Kingdom County. In that little town, there's a Presbyterian and a Baptist church side by side in the town square. And the stories cover five generations of the Kinnison family as they sort of live American history. So it covers all of American history. The Civil War is in there. The Revolutionary War is in there. World War II is in there. So we see all of American history in this isolated rural family that just likes to keep to themselves. Mm-hmm. There are lawyers, there are judges, there are hoodlums in
this
the family.
This goes through generations?
It goes through five generations, which is to say the five generations that America has been around.
Uh-huh.
So it is just like Faulkner and Masters and Eder in the way it recreates this mythical kingdom, Kingdom County.
I've often wondered about how people create things like that. Usually they take the town they live in and just give it a different name.
Yeah, I don't know much about the author, but this town and this county seem real.
Uh-huh.
It's out in the woods. It's almost inaccessible.
Yeah, well, that sounds interesting. What's the name of it again?
Points North.
Points North.
And it's a series of about 8 to 10, I forget how many, short stories, all interconnected.
So it's just there is not one continuous narration?
No, it's just like Faulkner's Yakutat County.
Oh, I see.
Or Masters' individual poems, yeah.
Well, maybe that's the way to write your book. Rolled is just to do it one short story at a time. Have you ever thought of plumbing your childhood for material?
No, but I could. I mean, and everybody could. Childhood is an interesting time because you're sort of discovering the world.
I've thought of that, but it seems too self-revealing. I thought, well, I could use a pen name and disguise it and preserve my anonymity, but who can reserve their anonymity in this day and age?
Yeah, I think that would be difficult.
Yeah, I think it would. Once again, the title of the book.
Points North by Frank Mosher.
Frank Mosher, is that generally available?
It generally is available.
Okay, well, I think that'll do it for now. We've gone through voiceovers, and now we're going to go over our theme as we exit. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Don Woot with Roll Tweet. We hope you've enjoyed our discussion today and that you'll be with us next week for the next issue of Scribble.